Hi, everybody. This is Ben Starr with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. That's right. Ideas, concepts, and guests. And as you know, we have a show here. We like to call it The Positive Mind. And today we thought we'd talk about something very important when it comes to keeping a positive mind, and that is a positive attitude. That's right. It's all about attitude, friends. All about attitude. And I'm not talking about happiness here, right? That's a feeling. That's an emotion. I'm talking about an attitude, a state of being, a state of mind. It goes beyond happiness. And we've learned from research that having a positive attitude actually has very real health benefits. It can help you both physically and mentally. And we've learned that it can help you live longer. It can help you achieve a better immune system. Reduces your risk of things like heart disease and high cholesterol. And it can even slow mental and physical signs of aging. So keeping a positive attitude is, well, look, it's not easy. It's a challenge, right? But it has very real benefits and very real effects, and it can improve your life and the lives of those around you. And today we're going to get a little bit into that. I can say that from a personal standpoint, I've taken great steps in my own life to do my best to change my attitude. And I think it comes down to perspective. It's all about perspective. And something I'd like to share with you, the listening audience, is that today is a tough day for me. Today is the 3-year anniversary of the death of my best friend. And it's something that I've had to grapple with in terms of attitude and perspective. When he first passed away, very suddenly, very tragically, I had a very, very difficult and negative attitude about it. I had a lot of resentment, a lot of anger at the circumstance. And over time, I realized that, first of all, there was nothing I could do to change that. And the best thing would just be to really feel the gratitude for having been blessed with such a good friend and having been lucky to experience that level of friendship. And, you know, it still hurts, especially on a day like today. I'm thinking about him. But, you know, my attitude around it is not as bitter as I was. And consequently, the mourning process and the grieving became much easier after that. So I'm Ben Starr. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. Thank you for joining us. Today I have Kevin O'Donohue here in the studio with me. Kevin of the DeMel Center here. Kevin, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Ben.
It's great to have you.
Thanks, Ben. Great to be here. Sorry about your loss. Great that you've done your healing around it.
Yeah, and I got to say, it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been easy. And attitude and perspective and mindset have played a large role in that.
So when you get down about this now, I mean, do you still get down about it? And how do you pick yourself up out of it?
Well, it goes back to what I said. You know, there came a point where I realized that I had a choice on how I wanted to approach this. I had a choice on how I wanted to think about it and how I wanted to deal with it in my life. You know, we don't always choose our feelings, but we can choose how we think about something.
Right. So when he comes up in your mind, what was his name?
Daryl.
When Daryl comes up in your mind, whether it's today or the anniversary, around this time of year, you could find yourself getting negative or down, and you somehow find a way to pull yourself out of it. And you say to yourself, what?
Well, I'll give you an example. At the beginning of last week, I found myself inexplicably sort of glum, sort of down. Mm. And I didn't even really understand or realize why. And then it hit me that this anniversary was coming up. And I really had to be conscious and be present for myself to explore, you know, what that friendship meant to me and how I've come to terms with the fact that, you know, he's no longer with us.
Right.
And, you know, grieving, it was the first real difficult death that I dealt with in my life. All the deaths that I had been around, deaths in the family were deaths of much, much older people who had lived full lives. And, it doesn't make it less sad, but
sure.
It makes it, I think, less tragic.
Right.
You
can rationalize it.
Right.
Better and put it in a box.
Yeah.
More
I mean,
easily
my,
for
you know,
yourself.
I had lost great grandparents in their,
right.
in their 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And that's, that's completely different than losing a young peer.
Yeah.
So I got to this point, Kevin, where I realized, that it was a blessing to have someone so close to me in my life, mm-hmm. that many people don't get to experience that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a friendship from,
right.
age five, 6 years old,
wow.
in grade school, growing up together, going through, teenage years, young adulthood into adulthood together.
Mm.
And that was really a blessing for me. And I learned a lot about friendship and loyalty and, being considerate,
yeah.
to others. I learned a lot from this person. And so I came to a point of gratitude and, fond memories instead of resentment or anger. Armand often said we can take death as the ultimate betrayal.
Right.
Right? Because this person
has left me
forever.
Right.
And it's very easy to slip into that. But, today, we thought we would talk about keeping a positive attitude about things.
Mm.
And, it's not easy, as I said earlier. I mean... It's not easy, especially some of you out there are dealing with incredible pain, incredible hardship and hurt, even things that hurt more than the loss of a best friend. And it's not to quantify or to compare and compete our pain and hardship. But how do we overcome the instinct to negativity? And parlay that into a positive outlook.
Mm.
And we did a lot of talking about this, Kevin and I, over the past week, because it's an important topic, especially today, in the present current day and age. It's a very important topic. I mean, right? One thing we talked about was the media.
Yeah.
How negative the media can be.
The media primes you for negativity. I mean, without negativity, the media doesn't exist. I mean, there are no happy channels.
There's a famous saying in journalism, Kevin, that dog bites man is not a headline, but man bites dog is a headline. And I think that sheds a lot of light on the media atmosphere that we live in.
Yeah.
It's all geared towards really emphasizing the negative.
And how do you tune that out? I mean, how do you get a dose of it? Okay, we all want a dose. But when does it become go over the top of the glass and become too much? What mechanism in yourself do you use to turn it off and say, okay, I have my fill today. It's time for me to use my resources and go in another direction, live my day without being weighed down by all this.
Well, Kevin, one thing that I always loved hearing Armand talk about was he had this concept of link versus flow.
Really?
And this concept, I think, can help us all, can shed a lot of light on how we go from being sort of stuck, mentally stuck, to freeing ourselves from wallowing in negativity and becoming in the present, in the moment, right? And let's talk about that. What is link versus flow? Link, Armand used to describe as associations that we make, right, between the past and the future.
Right.
Right? So let's say... a few years ago, let's say that I had, I had my parking spot stolen by a person in a blue minivan. Link would be spending the rest of my life cursing under my breath every time I see a blue minivan.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Link is creating associations to the past and the future and being stuck in them. Right? We get power from those associations.
I see what you mean. Yeah, so even if you fail a test or something, you can say, "Oh man, I'm going to always fail a test. I'll never pass." You link it to yourself, a quality in yourself that says, "Okay, I'm never going to be able to."
And
do this.
Even in a negative link like that you mentioned, Kevin, there's a comfort and a predictability in being able to say that. There is a comfort and a predictability there, right?
Mm.
And I think that's that that. really just goes to show a lot of how people feel about other groups. And when I say groups, I mean that goes in every kind of description, right? Whether it's a socioeconomic group, whether it's a professional group, right? Everybody has a joke about lawyers. Mm. Everybody likes to make fun of lawyers because at somewhere along the line, everyone has a link to a negative experience with a lawyer.
Right.
Right?
So, or somebody else's link.
Or
that you're adopting as your own.
Exactly.
Link, you know.
Links are really, like I said, about comfort and predictability, and we attach conditions to them, right? It's when we attach conditions for ourselves and for our own happiness. How many times have you heard someone say something like, I'll be happy if I get into such and such school. I'll be happy if I get accepted at this job interview. I'll be happy if I make $1 million.
And this is a danger. Armand says this is a danger. This is we have something in ourselves that is better than a link, is better than this if-then thinking.
Right. If only. That's another one.
Right.
If only I wasn't single.
Right.
If only.
If only I made 300 grand a year.
Yeah. If only I made 300 grand a year, then all my problems would be solved. I'd be completely happy and all my relationships would be great. Really?
Right. You'd still have you to deal with.
Exactly. So that's okay. Link is. Link is attaching expectations and associations of the past or to the future.
Mm-hmm.
And we all do it. We're all guilty of it in one form of another.
Right.
But is it the best way? Is it the best mentality to hold and to keep, to live a positively minded life?
What's an option?
Well, the other option is what we talked about called flow. And flow is basically about cutting the links. Flow is about being in the present. It's about embracing the present without judgment or negativity. That's so important.
Mm.
Without judgment or negativity, right?
Mm.
Happy people have decided to be here now. Unhappy people are here tomorrow or they're here yesterday, but they're not here now.
Right.
They're stuck thinking about past or future, and they're not able to enjoy this present moment right now.
Oh, I get it. So flow is actually enjoying your life.
Exactly. Without preconditions, without attachments, without judgments that are tied to past experiences or future expectations. Flow is about enjoying today, enjoying this hour, this minute, this moment right now.
I've heard about this concept with athletes. Like when an athlete, a baseball player, is in the zone or in the flow.
Right.
Like he says, time stands still. It's just him and the ball or him and the bat. And there's no thought in the way compromising achieving what he wants.
Sure.
So I've heard of this a lot.
And a lot of people will even say that they'll use a term for that when an athlete is so hot that he almost can't fail. We saw that with the Mets last year with Daniel Murphy almost single-handedly carrying the Mets into the World Series. People say, "Oh, he's unconscious. He's playing so hot. He's unconscious."
Yeah.
It's like he's not even thinking. He's just so in the flow, in the moment.
Oh.
And we wanted to share with you a little sample of Armand discussing this concept, link and flow. And I think it's incredibly useful. I think we can all benefit from it. And we wanted to share this with you. And we'll be back after this and taking your calls a little bit later in the program. Have a listen.
People say, put on some great music and it'll always make me feel good. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. That's more link. Link versus flow. We don't want to have to add something to make us feel happy. See, if you give me a little heroin, I'll feel happy. Link. If you give me someone to love me, I'll feel happy. Link. If I sit in this church and I get quiet and I feel good with myself right this moment, flow. If I go home, if I find a quiet space inside of myself, if I admire this flower, if I look at it but not dependent on it, flow. So every time you've got a chance, or you've got a chance for happiness, and it comes through Link. It also comes through Flow, because the music doesn't make you happy. The music may distract you, like the book may distract you and take you out, you know, for a while. But Flow is that part of you, that gorgeous, gorgeous part of you that is a messenger of love to humanity. And I know you people out there. I know that you are the most loving, kind, beautiful, generous people. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this program. And the fact that you are listening means that you're a kind person. Kind. And as kind people, imagine if I could take just a million of you and put you on this planet, you know, bring you to a party. Geez, you know, the floor would never be dirty because everybody would be picking up the dirt. Kind. People would offer each other seats. People would be nice to each other, even if they were a little challenged. Kind. But that's where it comes from. It comes from this inside spot of flow. But it's not association. So if you only feel happy when you make money, it's not going to happen. If you only feel happy when you get approved of by your boss, it's not going to happen. Find the flow. Find the spot. Even if, and that's what I think depressed people are very smart. Because what depressed people do is they very often isolate themselves until they get to that spot. See, they're depressed, 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 and then all of a sudden they feel this kind of lifting because they've made peace with themselves. And that's flow.
And that's flow. And we're talking about Link versus Flow, being in the present, being here now in the moment. You're listening to The Positive Mind on 99.5 FM WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here in the studio with Kevin O'Donohue. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
It's always great to talk to you about this stuff. And really what I get from that when I listen to that is that it ultimately comes down to we are responsible for our own happiness, right?
Yeah.
And relying on an external factor, whether it's a human, another human being, whether it's a circumstance or a situation or a material situation like wealth, relying on that external factor is not going to work. I mean, the only thing to me, the most important thing, I think, is health, which is still an internal thing because we're responsible for that too, right? We're responsible for our own health. But relying on anything beyond that for feeling our happiness is a tricky situation because we begin to create all these parameters and conditions, and ultimately it becomes very hard to satisfy those.
And all you have to do is admire a flower. You know, he uses that example because our mom was a big flower lover, but it's a way, it's an anchor into the present. Find ways to anchor yourself into the present. One way is another old Gestalt technique is to separate the figure from the ground. Find the figure in the ground, in the picture. Find the lines. Find the way an artist puts paint on a canvas. Forget about the object that you see on the canvas, but notice how we put the paint on there. Notice when you're walking down the street, I like that. I don't like that. I like that. It brings you, it anchors you into the present.
Into that moment.
Into the moment.
Right?
Into today.
And I think getting there allows us to even become kinder to ourselves, which in turn allows us to be kinder to others. Yeah. And as we just heard, those of you listening to Gary Nolan the previous hour, I heard Gary say, kindness makes us smarter, stronger, and happier. So, you know, there's a start, friends. Get kind with yourself. It's so often that we see that people are so hard on themselves.
And it's a good way to know that you're in flow. When you're kind and have an impulse or an instinct to be kind, ask yourself, where am I? How am I feeling?
Here's a very real example of Link versus Flow.
Yeah.
Driving in a car in a place like New York City.
Uh-oh.
And many of you out there right now are in your cars and driving and braving the streets of Manhattan or Brooklyn or wherever you may be in your car in a dense traffic-packed area. Link versus flow comes into play, right? And I'm guilty of this, of the road rage thing. It's, I mean, not always, but, you know, there are times where I get very tense driving a car, very tense. I physically feel my whole body tense up. I feel how tightly I'm gripping the steering wheel. I feel my muscles tensing, tightening. And I feel the emotions and the anger bubbling. But really, what's it about?
You're alone with your thoughts.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's just you and your thoughts inside this aluminum or steel thing with glass. And here you're having all these thoughts. Oh, if I only make it to there. Oh, if I only catch the red light, green light. If, oh, that car gets out of my way. Oh, if the LIE is empty.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Well, here's the thing. Flow is accepting that you can't control the traffic. Flow is accepting that there are just too many people on the roads. And that's just a fact of life, right? We've built this beautiful city, but we have infrastructure that was built, generations ago. And now we have... almost double the amount of people trying to get on the same amount of roads. So flow is just accepting that, understanding that you're probably not going to make that left turn when the light's yellow, understanding that, there are going to be people who go too slow and there are going to be people who go too fast, and it's completely out of our control, and we're going to get there when we get there. I mean, it's the same with the subway.
Mm.
How many people do you see on the subway platform? And I do it too. So I'm not making a judgment here, but how many times do all of us stick our head over the platform and look to our left to see if the train is coming?
Everybody's
doing it.
Sure. What's wrong with that?
Well, it's not being in the moment. It's worrying about when is the train going to get here.
Oh.
It's not going to make the train come any faster.
I got so news. It's a nervous reaction, reflection, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a link. It's a linking.
Flow is ultimately about surrender.
Really?
Yeah. Flow is about surrendering to the reality that there are limitless external circumstances that we don't control. And so, we want to think that we can be in control. It's such an impulse to need to be in control.
Yeah.
But ultimately recognizing that in the grand scheme of the greater world, we are powerless to stop the three-car pileup that created the 12-mile traffic jam. You're not going to do anything to change that. So why get angry when you're in the middle of it, right?
Sure. That's at least a good question. I mean, how do you find flow when you're in the middle of linking? How do you get there?
I think it comes down to breathing. I think that's a big part of it.
Tell me more. What do you mean, breathing?
Well, I think, there's a lot has been said about this around meditation and transcendental meditation and other forms of meditation, but... really getting in touch with our breathing can regulate a lot of things like our pulse, our breathing, our oxygen levels. I mean, just taking a deep breath and getting oxygen into those deeper parts of your lungs.
Yeah.
It can really change.
I think it also probably slows you down.
Yeah.
Mentally. I mean, when I'm, late for an appointment, and I'm in traffic, my mind is going really fast. I mean, I know that it's thinking multiple things at once. And if I breathe, it does at least slow it down. It doesn't take away the need to get there, but it does slow me down enough to at least see what I'm thinking and accept, maybe like you say, surrender to the fact that, okay, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. I'm not going to get there when I thought I would.
And the lesson there is next time leave 10 minutes early.
Is it? Because
I think so.
Sometimes even if you leave 10 minutes early, then it's 20 minutes. I think the lesson is to breathe and accept, did I dot all my I's and cross the T's? Yes. I'm doing what I did and could do. This is beyond me. I didn't have to leave earlier. I'll just accept I'll just accept where I'm at. I'll accept what is.
There's a great term that gets thrown around in a lot of group therapies and even 12-step programs called keeping my side of the street clean, right? All I can do ultimately is keep my side of the street clean.
Positive attitude.
Yeah, all I can do is make sure that I'm being the best person that I can be. And, there's a lot of externalities there, but as long as I control my own happiness and well-being, I mean, that does have an effect. That does radiate outward.
Yeah. I like what you said before about choice when you were thinking of Daryl. You came to a point where you realized, I have a choice about this. I can get down and always think of him and be sad and withdraw or isolate or whatever. Or I can think of him and celebrate him and celebrate what he brought to me and what I have. And I guess... when you talk about flow, you surrender or you get unconscious like the baseball player.
Right.
To what's positive. the celebration. What's good? So tell me more. Keep going.
Well, I think flow also comes down to, and being present comes down to being able to listen to other people. And that's so important. I mean, there's, you know, very famous proverb that's been attributed to many different individuals and many different cultures. If any of you know the exact origin of it, feel free to call in later. But it goes something like, the wise man listens, the fool speaks. Or a fool speaks while a wise man listens. And here's another sample of Armand talking about how important listening is when it comes to being present and this concept of flow.
Nice.
Check this out.
Want to hear something funny? A man said to me the other day, I met a very young man, 30 years old, extremely successful. Extremely successful guy. I said to him, I said, what's the secret? How did you get here? And he said to me, Armand, he said, you wouldn't believe it. He said, I owe it all to one book. I said, what book? He said, Dale Carnegie. Dale Carnegie's book on how to succeed. What is it? What is it? How to succeed in business without really trying, I think is the name of the book. Yeah, Dale Carnegie's book. And I said, well, what was the tenet of that book? I think I remembered the book. And they said, Dale Carnegie said one very important thing. People have no interest in your negative attitude. They don't care unless it feeds them in some way. They actually don't have any interest in your attitude. He said, if you want to really learn something, learn how to listen to people. Learn how to listen and learn how to ask questions that prove that you're listening. And ask questions out of the interest out of your own heart. If you're not, he says, don't be phony about it. He said, but learn to listen. If you listen, you will be successful. Well, this man said that's all he's ever done. He said he never talks. He just listens. And he's got a positive attitude somewhere. But inside, I said, so what happened to you when you see somebody who's really talking stupid? You know, who's saying something that has no meaning. And he says, he just ignores it. It just kind of floats over him. And he maintains his attitude of positivity that people respond so much to. It's tough. It's tough. And I know it sounds like easy words. Get a positive attitude. It's not easy. It's very, very difficult to kind of turn it around. But you've got to get the idea of it. The idea of it is if you see yourself being negative, if you see yourself caught in that, ask yourself what's going on. Not just why am I so negative, but what's going on. Don't believe that you could be so mad at the bus driver that it could really take your whole day with negativity. Don't believe that the person you work with in the office can be the one person who's going to make you miserable. Don't believe that. Examine it instead. One of the things to do is if you find yourself on a negative tear, ask yourself, take the person out of it. Now, you have to take whoever's in it. Let's say you get angry at somebody you work with. Take them out of the picture and say, where has this situation existed in my life before? Where have I felt like this before? What is specifically like this? Like, let's say somebody corrects you at work and they do it badly and you respond ultra negatively. You ask yourself, where is this familiar to me? How is this familiar to me? Because, you know, I mean, people could do stupid things like correct you badly, and you could laugh at them on some days. Then at other days, you're ready to bite their head off.
Wow.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, that's right.
Keeping it real. What does this link to whenever you're out of control or really, really angry in the present? I love how he keeps it real. He says, some days you'll just want to tear the guy's head off. The other days, You're totally calm.
And yeah, and I think that's a lot like road rage too, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it really is. So, but he makes the association. Where does this track back to?
That's
literally,
right.
Literally, I mean.
And we're going to want to hear from our listeners on this topic. Our number here in the studio is 212-757-5555. We're going to take a short musical break and back after this with your phone calls.
Got to much easier.
Just a little bit easier.
Say you just can't live that negative way. If you know what I mean, make way for the positive day. 'Cause it's news, news and days, new time. And if it's a new feeling, look at it, said it's a new sign. Oh, what a new day.
Marley and the Wailers, Positive Vibration here on 99.5 FM WBAI. You're tuned into The Positive Mind. I'm your host, Ben Starr, here with Kevin O'Donohue in the studio. Just want to let all of our listeners know there will be a WBAI benefit Friday, April 1st from 6 p.m. to midnight. It's the fourth annual WBAI Salsa Dance benefit. There's going to be four bands. It's going to be down on Varick Street at SOB's. That's a corner of Varick and Houston. And you can call for reservations for dinner. The number is 212-243-4940. That's 212-243-4940 for the fourth annual WBAI Salsa Dance Benefit. So get your tickets now. It's a fundraiser. It's $25 per ticket. And there's going to be lots of great salsa music, dancing, and bands, all to benefit a great cause, WBAI, right here in New York City.
And Positive Vibrations.
Absolutely. We're going to go ahead and start taking phone calls. We have Anthony on the line. Anthony, thanks for holding on.
Thank you very much. You know, you guys were just speaking. Like, I'm in a 12-step program.
Okay.
And everything you guys said, it came right out of NA Big Book, like, you're powerless. The insanity of being in traffic and not being able to have a clear mind.
Right. Sure.
The 8-step, you know, keeping your side of the street clean. You know, because as long as I take care of what I got to take care of on my side, even if I get rejected, at least I know that I made the effort to try to clean up my part. And the other thing is that when you play one finger at somebody, three more are pointing back at you. You know, because everything starts and ends with me.
Absolutely.
And I can start my day over anytime I want.
I think a lot of the reason, Anthony, that some of that stuff you see in 12-step programs is that it's a pretty universal concept and it works. And
everybody can use it.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I thank you for, you know, letting us know about that. And I wish you the best of luck in your sobriety.
Let me ask him. So, Anthony, how is things different than when you were drinking? I mean, you're in recovery now. Do you notice a change of attitude? Do you watch your attitude?
Well, my first impression of you would be wrong. I would dislike you right away because I would look at you and say he thinks he's all that.
Right. Okay.
But that was a fear. See, I have a lot of fear inside of me.
Okay.
And because I'm not all that I can be, that I look at you differently. So even being clean, I have to watch out for that, because a lot of times I can miss out on opportunity for a good friendship because the disease makes me jealous of somebody who's doing well.
Wow.
Who had a great life and who's taking care of business. You know, and this, and if I look back in the past, if I stare at it, I'm in big trouble. I can look, but I don't stare.
So the fact that you're
one foot in front of the other.
It sounds like the fact that you're interrupting yourself and not going with your fear. You're doing kind of what Armand says, is to listen. First you're listening to yourself, and then you're interrupting it and saying, okay, hold on, this person might have something to offer me. Let me really listen to them. So you sounds like you're on your way.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's a day-to-day thing.
Yeah, well.
It's better than it was 23 years ago.
Wow, fantastic, Anthony. Congratulations. Keep going. Thanks for calling us. Keep going.
Thank you.
Be well.
Thanks, Anthony.
Bye-bye.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. That's 212-757-5555.
You know, the recovery movement does have one way of getting into the moment, and it says take it day by day.
Sure, one day at a time.
You know?
And that's actually exactly what we're talking about. You know, and I think one day at a time is something that that can benefit everyone, not just people in recovery.
Right, right. So he was great. Anthony's great call. 23 years later, he still struggles with it. Isn't it fantastic? I mean, positive attitude is not easy, and it's great when it shows up on you. The question is, how do you get it when you don't feel it that day? And I think what you were saying about breathing, taking time to really listen to yourself, find out what is frustrating me. How do I get into flow in this situation? Maybe even just that question. How do I get to flow right now?
Sure. To our callers out there who are calling in right now, your calls have been overflowed into the secondary lines, which we can't answer here in the studio. So please hang up. Call us back at 212-757-5555. That's 212-757-5555. If you're calling now, we're on hold. We can see the lines flashing. Just hang up and call back at that number, and we'll get to your calls soon as we can.
Do you find, like, listening, that you're in flow when you listen to somebody?
You know, that really depends.
Okay.
That really depends on how much I'm paying attention and how much I'm in the moment.
Yeah, because I was trying to make the distinction between hearing and listening.
Absolutely. I mean, there's times where, you know, I may be exhausted, I may be tired, I may simply not be that interested.
Right.
And listening actually is an active thing that I have to struggle to do.
Right, right. And, you know, I always find myself jumping over the negative when somebody's turning negative on me or something that I can't contribute to or do anything about. You know, it's almost like I'm not there and the person's talking. I literally see my mind jump over them, jump over what they're saying.
Right. I mean, it's
so
like
it takes
that.
Me out of the moment, which I don't think is a good thing. I mean, if we do what Armand's saying, just hang in there. Keep listening. Keep listening. Keep listening. And you might find something.
We still have several lines lit up of people who the phone is ringing, but we can't pick up those lines here in the studio. So please hang up and call us back at 212-757-5555, or anyone out there who wants to weigh in on this topic of being in the moment and being present versus being preoccupied with past or future.
Yeah, positive attitude. How do you get it? You know, there's a TV show. I don't watch it much, but there's a show where they follow employees in a business, in a company. And, you know, at the end of it, it confronts the people on the jobs they're doing. And it always has a mix of people who are doing the job well and a couple of people who are not doing it so well. And the bottom line, I always find the bottom characteristic is that the people who do their jobs well have positive attitudes. They just have, they're oriented outward. They're oriented to giving and to doing their job effectively. They are into communicating with the customer, with people. They're not sidetracked by negativity or poor production from other employees. They have their mind on the ball, their eyes on the ball, And they have this giving, kind attitude.
Let's take another call. We have George on the line. Thanks for calling in, George.
Hi, hi guys. A great show. Good to hear from Armand again. Maybe miss him dearly.
Great.
I don't know when you had that, when you put that piece on, but it...
2007.
2007, okay. Because it touched me pretty good. But I understand positivity, and positivity is great. You have to have it and all of that.
Yeah.
But it's easy to answer somebody with positivity who has positivity. It's easy to just let that guy bubble through and flow through life as a joyous little being and give him what he wants because he's joyous and you know.
Hmm.
But we are now in a world that is not joyous for many, many people, and it's far easier to to accept a Jesus creature that comes to you with love and compassion and understanding and to get an Antichrist that comes with negativity, fear, anger, And they're accepting this Trump guy. Say, so let's use a couple of nasty examples of people that also get a following.
Negativity. I mean, he's tapping into that. But try not to keep it political. How do you get beyond a guy like that, or people
in your
life?
Well, my point being is that for all my life, for years on end, I was the most joyous person you could ever. I still am.
I still hear it.
Especially when I interact with people. But then I get put into a corporate world that doesn't accept this kind of thinking of cooperation. It's all about competition. It's all about backstabbing. It's all about political.
Yeah, there's a link.
When you're trying to get ahead.
You know, I've been there myself, George, and I completely empathize with your statement from the beginning that, we're in a world where there is a lot of difficulty and challenge and negativity. And Kevin and I discussed this before the show, and we touched on it briefly with the media stuff. I mean, I think right now the best thing to do to get away from that negativity is to turn off the TV. Because
I did that 15 years ago, but I appreciate you putting that out there. That's exactly what I did. If all the news is bad, shut it off. You've already heard enough of it.
Yep.
What is missing in corporate America? I mean, you go there every day. You still work for a corporation.
What was missing in it?
Yeah.
It's just, like I said, the whole idea of cooperation. Mankind was not meant... Oh, sure, we're meant to compete, but just competing to the point of killing the team and killing the teamwork in it is just insanity. And this is what's bringing the whole world down. It's me, me, me. There's no I in team. And if you're on the team that spells it all with an I first, you're on the losing team, and that's what we are. We are on the losing team because it's all about I. It's great to give a captain his due and to do this and that, but to give 1% of the captains, or 0.1% of the captains, 90% of the due, that is insanity. No tribe has ever lived like this.
And you're right.
That's true, George.
To be in a crazy world, one must almost become crazy or accept that you are crazy.
It's interesting that you bring that up, George, because I said to Kevin at the beginning of the show, I said, how can we talk about a positive mind and a positive attitude today without basically getting into the territory that you're in right now? And, we are very much very sensitive and in tune to the issues you mentioned, but... we've always tried, and Armand always tried, and we follow that example to stay within the heart and out of the politics of it. But I completely acknowledge that it's really hard times right now.
Is there
you guys are helping a lot of people, and especially following such a, like I said, Armand was a great teacher, and just to be, to follow his footsteps and to take what you can out of him and add to your own is a great thing. And the other thing about the 12-step, before I go, because I don't want to take up all your time and everybody else is out there, is the 12-step thing, you're not alone. In your crazy ideas, you're not alone. As long as you know that you're not the only one that thinks this world is messed up, you have a friend that, may not save you, but just the idea that you're on a team that knows there's a lot of things that are screwed up, that's salvation in itself. It's the hope of that. One
Absolutely.
Person that can connect. That's why you go to a meeting and there's other people that have the same problem. But we are all in the same boat. We all have very similar problems, and we're coming to that realization, and I thank you for pointing it out, and I wish all of us great luck in this future ahead of us, especially with this election coming up.
Thank you, George. I thank you for the call, and I thank you for continuing to listen to The Positive Mind. Appreciate it.
You guys go on. Thank you a lot.
Bye-bye. Take care.
A kind man. A kind man there.
212-757-5555. I just want to say, it's so hard to separate the social and political and economic from the heart, because we are multifaceted individuals that, deal with a million things at once, and it's hard because we always try to sort of keep it within the heart and within within the positive mind, and it, we you know, there's so much politics out there, and even on WBAI that you know, we try to be sort of a refuge from that, but sometimes, you know, sometimes it just comes up, and you know, that's okay. That's okay. It's hard to sometimes avoid it, but we do try to stay within the heart and within the emotions.
Yeah, I meant to ask him where he might find somebody at the job that he could collaborate with, get a sort of subculture of collaborators inside a corporation. Yeah, it sounds like a daunting task to try and find, change the culture of a place. But I liked how we identified the problem. And I think once you identify the problem, you can try to start looking for alternatives. In this case, collaborating with somebody. It sounds like George is really looking for somebody who's on the same page.
Well, it's certainly true, the point George raises, that you know, we have a very, very tough corporate culture that's hurting a lot of people who have, you know, who are conscious and trying to, you know, live in awareness and live in love. It's a tough environment. It is.
Yeah. We only progress really with cooperation ultimately.
Yeah. Let's try to get in as many calls as we can in the next 8 minutes or so. We have Judy on the line. Judy, thanks for calling in.
Oh, hi. I'm a long-time listener to the show, and I did come in to see Armand a while ago, and I'm so glad I did.
I'm glad you did too, Judy.
Yeah. I have a problem today. I don't know if it really has anything to do with this, but I think it does. I have a cousin in England. I have a very small family left, and I sent her a gift recently, and I went to some trouble and expense to send it, and she thanked me by email that she got it. There's a long story in the background. I won't go into it, but she got it, and this was back in early February, and she's not opening it. And it's the oddest thing I've ever come across, and people have said to me, what did you do to her? That they know I didn't do anything to her. I haven't seen her in a long time. And she kept emailing me how busy she was. But then I'd see on Facebook, oh, I had a lazy day. I laid around in bed and I watched TV today. And she is just not opening it. And I know she's got problems. She's a hoarder. I know that. Mm. And I pictured this box with gifts worth about $200. And I spent almost $100 to ship it to her. It's probably lost in the landscape over there. She never opened it.
Does that feel like a personal affront to you, Judy?
I feel terrible, and I'll tell you, there are different words that she uses, and even the British accent now I cringe. It's like, I can't stand
it. There's a link now. You're linking that British accent to the situation with your cousin.
I don't want to. I love all the British TV shows and things like that. I'm not going that far. But I've written her a letter, which I haven't sent yet because I want it just so. It's not nasty. And I'm asking her, you know, what's happening. I really think maybe she's got a bit of ADD and OCD, and there's a block.
So you have
opening it.
Judy, you have so much insight here. How do you turn this around for yourself so that you're okay, to make yourself okay with this?
Well,
you obviously, it's a gift,
question.
After all. You
I
gave
feel
her a gift.
Like these things I put in that box, it's like the post office might as well have lost them, because I was supposed to get my money back on the shipping anyway, and there's a whole thing with them now, that bureaucracy. They're not going to give me my money back.
Right.
I'm going to fight for it. But,
well, can you appreciate where it came from you, that you gave her a gift? You sent this overseas. You paid a lot of money. So
at that
point, you can't handle
right?
The other part. It's up to her. And even that you identify her as a hoarder, you know she has issues that aren't really about you at all. Can you find?
Oh, I know that.
Right?
I know it's.
So,
yeah.
So anyway, I'm just trying to get you out of this linking and this taking it personal, and trying to get you back to flow. You gave her this great gift. You met Armand. I mean, Armand would say, "Yay, you're a giver. You did it. So your part is over. You can't control other people."
No, I feel bad for these things. I feel like they're entombed until she's gone and the excavation committee comes in and digs all her stuff out.
Yeah, you can't control that.
And
though.
Somebody else will get them. And some of them are personal to her with initials and things. You know, I took a lot of care, and my mother was still alive at that time, and we chose them together. And it took a while to get everything together and send it. And I finally did. And that was the joke with us, that we were so much, so similar, we didn't have to speak to each other. But once she got on social media, she stopped calling. We have less communication now that she's into all the social media.
Yeah. Well, send her a card. That's what our mom would say. Send her a nice, joyous birthday or happy Christmas or something.
Hey, or send her a Facebook message. Maybe she'd reply to a Facebook message. It sounds like she's more active there anyway.
Anyway, Judy, but we do have to go. Thank you for the call. Stay in flow if you can.
I'm going to
get away from those links. Those British people are great people.
Thank you.
All right, sure, take care. We might be able to get one more quick call in. 212-757-5555. That's 212-757-5555. One more quick call before we have to wrap it up. Yeah, that's the number here in the studio. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow, same time, same place, 1 p.m., right here on 99.5 FM.
Ben, do you know this phrase, as a man thinketh, so he...
So he doeth?
Something, you know. And so often what gets us out of flow is as we thinketh. This poor example with Judy about her cousin over in England. You know, the only thing you can control is your thoughts. You can control your thinking. And
our own actions.
As you thinketh, so the world will turn for you. I mean, Armand gave this great example of a hugely successful man, hugely successful, who listened instead of turning to his thoughts or negativity. He listened outward. He listened to people. So success can come when you don't pay attention to necessarily your own thoughts or the negativity of somebody else. Just one little piece.
We have time for one more quick call. We have John on the line. John, thank you for calling in. Unfortunately, we do have to keep it brief today.
Okay, hi. How are you?
Hey, John.
Okay.
What's going on?
I don't know. I called because I tune in now. I hear Ray call in and talk. I want to talk and say hi. And to be successful, in my opinion, you have to be socialize. You know, the more you socialize, the more people you come in contact with, the more connections you can make in this world. You know,
absolutely.
Sounds like you have a lot of friends, John.
I do. I do. Yes, I'm. A lot of people say they like to have me around to, you know, to talk a lot. You know, I feel this. Your net worth is your net. I'm sorry. Your network is your net worth. You know,
interesting. The more
people,
the more people
you have around you, you know, you never know. You have 1,000 people need $1,000. Everybody give you $1. You're $1,000 richer. Yes.
Ah, that's one way of looking at it, John, and I thank you for calling in today. Unfortunately, we're running right up against the end of the show, but thanks for calling in, and definitely give us a call another time.
John, thanks for ending us with that. You sound like a great man.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Take care. Take care. And you have been listening to The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial and stream.wbai.org on the web. Be sure to tune in every Tuesday and Wednesday. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow. And you can send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. And that's where you can reach us via email. And, of course, you can subscribe to our podcast, which is free on iTunes. Why don't you go ahead and subscribe? You'll have automatically downloaded episodes every time as they become available. So if you miss an episode, you'll get it automatically delivered right to your computer. I'm Ben Starr. Kevin O'Donohue, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Ben.
We'll be back here tomorrow at 1 p.m. on 99.5 FM, WBAI, New York.
in this bar.